All right. Good evening, Crosspoints. Good evening. We're so glad that you're here for our 2024 Crosspoint Christmas Eve services. We know there was a lot of snow out there today, and we're so glad that you made it here tonight. I just want to share a few things before we get in this morning. I know we have some families that are here tonight, so we're going to try and do our very best to keep this within an hour, because we know kids, especially around this time, bedtimes are creeping up, and we're ready to go home and whatnot, so we'll just let you know, we'll keep it an hour. But we're going to have Christmas songs tonight. We're going to have a message, of course, to share with you. We're actually going to even have a Christmas story that we're going to have here on stage. And so one of the things I'm going to share with you beforehand, so you can be thinking about it, is that about halfway through the service, we will have this Christmas story, and we're going to invite all kids ages 10 and under to feel free to come on up right here in front of the stage, and we're going to have like a little bedtime Christmas story, okay? And so something special for tonight that we wanted to do and share with you as well. Also, on the way as you came in, you should have received a candle, hopefully, as you turn that on or twist it. Hopefully, it will light up. And so if that's the case, please, we'd love for you. You'll need those at the end of the service as we'll light those up, and we'll let you know when that takes place, okay? So let's go ahead and stand together. I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll hand it off to our worship team tonight. Okay. Father, thank you so much for this evening and this time to remember that Jesus, you are not only a prophet, you are not only a priest, but you are our King. And God, that's what we're going to reflect on tonight, that you are the King of the world, that you reign forevermore. And so, God, would you stir our hearts to be reminded of who you are, what you've done for us, and praise you that you came as God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. God, we are so grateful and are excited for tonight. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are so glad you're here. It's such a special time of year when we can reflect and give praise to our King, the King of Kings. So let's sing praises to him, the first Noel. Here we go.
Was
Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. You may be seated, and we are now at the point in our service where we're going to be setting up for our Christmas story. And so for all kids in the room, ages 10 and younger, we would love for you to come right up front here, right in front of these steps right here. I have Pastor Colby here, I have Pastor Steve. They're gonna be our sheepdogs today. They're gonna be wrangling up the kids. And adults, if you would like to come with your child and come sit up here, that is more than fine as well. As we're starting to shuffle things a little bit, I do want to share one thing. If you are new with us, I do want to say we are so glad that you are here and spending your Christmas Eve here. What I do want to share with you, in the back seat in front of you, you will see a green card. This is our Connect card. And so we would love to connect with you any way that we can. And so just to say welcome, we're so glad that you are here. And so please fill that out for us. Just, you know, write your name, either phone number, email, whatever it is, and you can hand it to one of our pastors in the Connect corner. We'll have pastors in that Connect corner. If you'll see it labeled, it says it in big bold letters, Connect corner. You can bring it to one of us. We have a gift for you just to say we are so glad that you're here. And also we have some black boxes at each of the back doors. If you'd rather just slip it in that black box, that is fine as well. But again, we are just so grateful for you coming here today. And one of the things that's going to be really special about this Christmas story is that the story was written by one of our very own, Rusty Boone. And so we are excited to be able to share the story that is called The Paper Crown. The Paper Crown. But let's go ahead and pray together, and then we'll go into our story, okay? Father, I just thank you again for this Christmas season. I thank you for all the blessings you've provided for us. But God, you know, we're excited about the gifts. We're excited about, you know, lighting up, you know, our Christmas trees and putting ornaments on them. And there's so many things that are really special about the Christmas season. But there's really only one main thing that stands above the rest, and that is Jesus coming down as a babe, that he might, as living with us, that he would one day be our Savior. God, we just thank you for this time. Would you bless this story? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All right. Who's ready for a story? What better way to spend Christmas than together with church family, huh? All right. Little Eddie Wilson was woken up by his baby brother. He was loudly crying in the room right next to Eddie's, and he could already hear his mother walking down the hallway to make sure that everything was all right. Eddie let out a long sigh. It had taken him a very long time to fall asleep, and now his brother had ruined everything. In the morning, it was finally Eddie's favorite day of the year. Christmas. It had taken every ounce of his concentration to force his eyes closed and find sleep, but now he was wide awake again, with images of presents by the tree dancing in his mind. Nearly an hour passed before Eddie's mom was able to calm down his baby brother. It was silent again, but it didn't matter, because Eddie was too excited to fall back to sleep. After one more failed attempt at closing his eyes, he decided that enough was enough. He slowly opened his bedroom door and very carefully padded his way down the stairway. Each step creaked beneath his feet, but even that wasn't enough to convince Eddie to go back to bed. Oh no, he was committed now, for better or for worse. So he kept going. And through the darkness of the living room, he could just make out the outline of the Christmas tree beside the fireplace. And beneath the tree, beckoning for him to come forth, were his presents. Laser focused on one task, Eddie approached the tree. And the closer he got, the more he could make out that one present that had consumed his thoughts over the past few weeks. It wasn't as big as some of the others, but it was wrapped in shiny gold wrapping paper and had a bright red ribbon tied around its center. Unlike the other presents, he couldn't quite figure out what was inside, and it had made his mind race with possibility. Well, now was his chance to finally find out. A part of him tried to convince himself to be patient, but he knew that the moment he would try to close his eyes, his annoying baby brother would just start wailing again. Angry at his brother, Eddie grabbed the golden present with both hands. As he was about to tear his way through the shiny paper, a lamp on the coffee table was suddenly turned on. The living room was filled with light, revealing Grandpa Jack sitting on the sofa, staring at Eddie with one eyebrow raised. "Boo!" Grandpa Jack declared with a slight grin on his face. Frightened and embarrassed, Eddie dropped the present and tried to run back to his room. Grandpa Jack scooped up Eddie with one arm and placed him on the couch next to him. For a second or two, they simply stared at each other. And then Grandpa Jack began to quietly chuckle. "That baby brother of yours is pretty loud, huh?" Grandpa Jack asked. Eddie simply nodded, still pretty embarrassed at having been caught. "Well, yeah, he woke me up too. I wondered if maybe you'd try something like this, so I figured I'd have a little sit on the couch." "Guess I was right," Grandpa Jack said, this time a little more serious. Eddie's eyes began to well up with tears. "It's not fair. I tried to be good. I even fell asleep and everything." Eddie began to shout, his voice shaking with anger. Grandpa Jack gently put a finger over Eddie's lips. "Shh, shh, shh, shh. Easy there, Eddie. You're going to wake up your parents if you're not careful. Now be a good grandson and hand me that present you were about to tear to pieces." Confused, Eddie froze for a moment or two before getting off the couch and picking up the golden present. He handed it to Grandpa Jack before sitting back down on the sofa. And Grandpa Jack inspected the present carefully, turning it this way and that, making sure it was all right. "You know, this one's actually from me, Eddie. So what do you say we open this one together?" "Right now?" Eddie asked, slightly confused. "Right now," Grandpa Jack declared. For the second time, Eddie nodded, this time starting to smile. Grandpa Jack wiped away Eddie's tears with one finger before carefully unwrapping the present. Instead of ripping the paper like Eddie was planning to, Grandpa Jack was able to remove the golden paper without as much as a single rip or tear. Eddie was impressed. Grandpa Jack handed him the small cardboard box that had been inside all along, and Eddie quickly opened it, revealing the present within. It was a small leather-bound book with the words "Holy Bible" written in gold on the cover. Eddie ran his fingers over the old leather and began flipping the pages. There sure were a lot of words, which most definitely disappointed him a bit. But there were also beautiful illustrations and pictures every few pages or so. Overall, Eddie didn't know what to make of this book. I mean, he had heard of the Bible before, but he didn't really know anything about it. Grandpa Jack gently grabbed the book and slid closer to his grandson on the couch. "All Bibles are special, Eddie, but this one in particular is very special to me. My grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, printed this book in his bookshop. He even drew those pretty pictures that you were looking at." Eddie looked at Grandpa Jack with his eyes wide, still very much confused. Grandpa Jack sighed. "Ah, well, I know an old book is probably not the kind of present that you were hoping for. But the Bible is no ordinary book, Eddie. In fact, it even explains what Christmas is about. Did you know that?" Grandpa Jack asked, and Eddie shook his head. Grandpa Jack licked his fingertips before flipping the old Bible to the Gospel of Luke. He pointed a bony finger at Luke chapter 2. "In this very chapter, Eddie, it is revealed to us why Christmas is so important. And no, Santa Claus doesn't show up even once." Eddie continued to be confused, but it wasn't long till Grandpa Jack was reading through the chapter aloud. Some of it was hard to follow, and some of the words in the story even sounded like gibberish, but Eddie was no idiot. He was able to gather that a very special baby named Jesus was born in a stinky barn or something like that. And for some reason, shepherds and even a group of guys called wise men found out and gave the baby really valuable birthday presents. It was an odd story, but there was something about it that intrigued him and made him curious. Grandpa Jack, before he could even finish reading the chapter, Eddie interrupted him. But Grandpa Jack, what makes this Jesus baby so Special? I just don't get it, Eddie asked. Grandpa Jack got real quiet as he pondered the question. And then, out of the blue, he grabbed the shiny gold wrapping paper and began folding the corners. Eddie looked at his grandfather with awe as he deftly transformed the wrapping paper into something entirely new. Within a moment or two, in his hands, he held a little golden crown. He then placed the paper crown onto his grandson's head and simply admired it for a moment or two. And then he declared, "That's the only clue you get." Eddie took off the crown and held it in his hands. And he stared at it for only a second before the answer came to him. "Only kings wear crown. Was this Jesus baby a king, Grandpa Jack?" Eddie asked, hoping he was onto something. A fire lit behind Grandpa Jack's eyes as his mouth curled into a grin. "Not a king, Eddie. The king. The king of kings. The very God that created us all and even loves you very much. He even loves that silly baby brother of yours." Eddie glanced back up the stairs in the direction of his brother's room. He half expected to hear him crying again, but the house remained surprisingly quiet. All kinds of thoughts were now racing through his mind, and Grandpa Jack could tell that his grandson was overwhelmed, so he placed a comforting hand on Eddie's shoulders. "You know what, Eddie? We should probably both get some sleep. In the morning, I'll read you more from this book. How's that sound?" For the final time that night, Eddie nodded before heading back upstairs. Clutched tightly in his tiny hands was the paper crown. Eddie stared at it before entering his bedroom. And he stopped. Instead of going in his bedroom, he tiptoed his way to his brother's room and very carefully opened the door. He approached his baby brother's crib and peered inside. In the glow of his brother's dinosaur nightlight, he could clearly see him soundly sleeping. As he watched his brother breathe tiny little breaths, he imagined what it must have been like to be the shepherds watching baby Jesus take his first breaths. How strange it must have been for them to see a tiny little baby and know it was actually God himself in human form. The whole idea rocked Eddie's world. His baby brother annoyed him so much. And yet, God had chosen to be one of these babies all those years ago. He wondered if even baby Jesus had cried as much as his brother did. What did it all mean? And why did Eddie care so much? He pondered these questions for a long time as he simply watched his brother sleep. If God himself had chosen to be one of these creatures, well, maybe babies weren't all that bad after all. Eddie felt his anger for his brother disappear. And for the first time since he was born, he truly enjoyed being in the same room with him. Eddie glanced back down at the paper crown in his hands. Very carefully, he placed it on his brother's head, making sure not to wake him up. Eddie then made his way back to his room, knowing in his heart that something had changed. In the morning, he would ask Grandpa Jack to read him more from that old and dusty book. All right. Thank you for joining me for that Christmas story. Merry Christmas. You can make your way back to your seats.
For me, it was living proof that God keeps his promises. I had waited a lifetime for the hope of the world to arrive. And just when it seemed that the prophecy would die along with me, I heard the cry of salvation coming from an obscure little town The only thing more powerful than expectant hope is fulfilled hope. It gave me permission to die in peace, but more importantly, it gave people everywhere the possibility to live with peace.
He was a constant reminder that God does not make mistakes. I didn't believe that at first. Everything started out so wrong. People told me I was a fool, blind to the truth, too trusting for my own good, but deep down in my soul, I knew something special was happening. Something bigger than my fears. Something better than my plans. Someone greater than my doubts.
He was a threat to my throne. My kingdom had been built by my own hands. And now there was a claim that a child had been born who would be known as the King of Kings? Not if I had anything to say about it. So I went after him. There was no way I would bend my knee to another. A child at that. If he wanted my throne, he would have to do what I did. He would have to take it.
He served as the pathway to wisdom and knowledge. Some have called us wise men. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The king used us like puppets to carry out his devious plans. Yet in the midst of our blindness, God gave us a beacon of light, a heavenly compass that pointed us towards an incomparable gift containing the depths of God's riches. To think that we brought him gifts seems so laughable now. He was the gift to us.
He was the reassurance that God could still use anyone. As an innkeeper, I had welcomed many weary travelers before, but none as tired as that young couple. With no room to offer, I was ready to send them on their way when I noticed the woman was close to giving birth. I offered them the only place I had, a manger. It seemed like such a trivial act at the time, but I soon realized that I had played a part in something much bigger than myself. God had chosen me too.
He was the answer to every question I had ever asked. Why me? How could this happen, you know? What will people think? My journey began with confusion and fear. Slowly, with each passing day, I came to see the beauty and the blessing of God's presence as my son grew inside of me. It was a strange mixture of human limits and divine love, culminating in that one moment when I saw his face for the first time and I realized God was with us.
It was the good news we never knew existed. Every day was the same day for us. When you guard sheep for a living, any distraction is welcome. But that night was more than we could have ever hoped for. The silence gave way to the sacred. The simple gave way to the supernatural. The bleating of sheep gave way to the crying of a child. In need of joy, for the earth in search of peace. It was such good news that we could not help but spread the word. A Savior had been born.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for coming. I was sitting there and my mind was kind of wandering. You say, weren't you watching the video? Well, I saw it last service and then I watched it today in the afternoon just to make sure it was okay and it was great. And I got to thinking, and I didn't say this the first service, it just didn't cross my mind, but This is, and I don't say this for anything, but just your mind wanders. This is my 40th Christmas Eve service at Cross Point Church. 40 Christmas Eves. That's a lot of Christmas Eves. Wow, 40. And then I thought, well, that's impossible because I'm only 35. So how can that be? We're so glad you're here. I wanted to share with you a Christmas blessing. Could I do that? Our church, this last few weeks, had shared that our godparent home ministry was in need of a van. It wasn't running, it hasn't been running, and we have another van as well, and that's in, it's a decent shape, but not great shape. And we were going to have to replace that in a couple of years down the road. And we just put a plea out to our church. And Barb Ford, our executive director, you know, did the same thing and with the people that she knows. And well, lo and behold, I've got some really, really bad news. We were trying to raise about 20 to 25 grand for a used van, and we weren't able to do that. But I have good news. We weren't able to raise the 20 or 25 grand for a used van. The good news is we raised over 80,000, and today we bought two new vans. Amen. So that's great. So we replaced the one that wasn't running, and we replaced the other one that we're going to have to replace in a few years. Today, the house moms went to Quirks. They gave us a really good deal. They gave us a big discount. And the two ladies drove home their new vans for the godparent home. I just want you to know that nothing like that has ever happened for our Christmas offering since I've been here. And I've been here for, as you heard, a long time. So I just want to thank all of you that played a part in prayer and giving and encouragement. And it's just so exciting to see that God still meets the needs of his ministries, and we praise God for that. What we want you to know is I'm just going to take literally a few minutes because we're finished at 6 o'clock, and we have another song to do, and when you're finished tonight with your candles, we're going to use those for our last song. Then on your way out, if you would just drop those in the box, we'd appreciate it. I just want to share a quick story, kind of like the one you just heard, but a little different. This is geared more toward the adult crowd. So follow along with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that word means the house of bread, Bethlehem was the bread basket of that area of southern Israel in Judea. It was also known as the city of David, King David, which many, many of you have heard. And during the time of King Herod, this is Herod the Great. There are many Herods in the New Testament. Sometimes it's hard to really know which Herod is referring to. But this particular Herod was placed into his position by his father. His father's name was Antipater, and Antipater had done some favors for Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar had given him this part of Judea or of Israel as a thank you for him helping him. And he said, I want you to take care of these Jewish people, and I'm going to call you the king of the Jews, and you take care of this part of Judea. So he did. And after a while, when he was finished, he named his son Herod to take his place. And Herod continued to rule. Herod was a very, very mean person. He's the one that gave the edict for all of the babies under the age of 2 years of age to be destroyed. He also, sadly, had his wife put away. He had three of his sons put away. He had other relatives that were close to him put away because he was so scared and paranoid that he would lose his position as king. And he felt if anybody tried to do anything against him, it might create some kind of riot or trouble. And it would get back to the Roman officials and that he would be kicked out and lose his position. So no one really around him was allowed to do much of anything. In fact, he was so bad that when he was dying, He told his soldiers to go around the city and gather up influential people and put them in prison. And he said, the day that I pass, I want you to destroy all of these people, because I know that when I pass from this life to the next, not one person will cry or weep for me. And I want weeping on the day that I die. What a terrible, terrible person he was. This is the person, this is the Herod, that the Magi came. And the Magi, we get words like magician, for example, magic, magistrate, from this particular word. And these wise men, these three wise men. Many of you, if not all of you, know the song, "We Three Kings from Orient Are." That's all I'm going to sing for you. John Henry Hopkins Jr., in about 1857, wrote that song. It wasn't published and actually written down until about 1863. Also, when we think of the Magi tradition, during the Middle Ages, they came up and said that there were three of them. And you know their names. Anybody know the three names of the Magi? First one is Caspar, then starts with a B. Caspar, Belshazzar, and who knows the last one? Starts with an M. Melchor. And the names were given. And the tradition was that there were three of them, and these were their names. In fact, there was an individual quite a few years ago, that actually said that he had discovered the skulls of the three wise men, which, of course, is absolutely not true. How do we know there were three? Well, there were three gifts that were given, but the Bible never says there were three. In fact, most people believe that there were many wise men that came from the East. Where in the East did they come from? They came from Persia. They came from what we would call modern-day Iran. And they traveled about 900 miles to Jerusalem. Now think about that for just a moment. You and I probably, we could get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and we could drive 900 miles before we would have to go to sleep. It'd be a long day, granted. But it could be done, right? Now some of you, it might not take 15 hours, it might take about 5 hours, by some of you that drive. But in those days, 900 miles would have taken months to traverse and walk and ride an animal, or maybe sit in a cart and be pulled. But they came from the East, these Magi. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? They asked Herod. Someone who was paranoid, someone who was very concerned about losing his position. And you can see just from what I've said as we read these verses and these words, how afraid he would have been to hear those words. What do you mean? Who is the king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews. My father was the king of the Jews. Julius Caesar has placed my family in charge of this area. What do you mean? Who are you talking about, this king of the Jews? Well, they said, we saw his star. Where we're from? Back in Iran, back in Persia, around Babylon. We saw the star. What was this star? Was it a star, as we think, a regular star? Probably not. I believe, and many believe, that it was the Shekinah glory of God. The same brightness, the Shekinah glory that led the nation of Israel during the wilderness wanderings. Remember when they traveled at night, what did the Bible say? God led them with a pillar of what? Fire, that's right, a pillar of fire, a bright light at night. During the day, it was a cloud. And other examples in the Old Testament where God showed up in light. We even see on the Mount Transfiguration in Matthew 17, when Jesus was taken to that mountain, there was a bright light. When Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus and the disciples saw it, that light. And it rose, and we followed that star, and we've come to worship him. You see, the Magi, we see them in the Bible around 700 years before Christ in the book of Daniel. where Daniel actually was placed over all the Magi. And there's no doubt that he taught them the Word of God. And some of them became true believers, not all of them, but some of them. And there was a remnant of them, we believe, from the time of Daniel all the way to the time of Christ. And it's these what we would call genuine God-believing Magi, whom God supernaturally gave the sign to them for them to follow all of these months, to go to Jerusalem, to look for this Messiah, this Christ child, that would be born to be the Savior of the entire world. And we've come to worship Him, the King of the Jews. We've not come to worship you, Herod. We've come to worship the real King of the Jews. Oh, Herod, by now, he is absolutely no question. He's beside himself. Well, we see here, when the king Herod heard this, notice he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. This created an uproar because many historians believe that there were not three wise men, that there were many, many wise men, and possibly had an entourage up to 100 people. So imagine all of these people coming into town saying, "We're looking for the King of the Jews." Boy, what a buzz in the city. A buzz in the palace of Herod. And when he had called together the people, chief priests, these were the Sadducees, these were the aristocrat leaders, priests of Israel, the ones that control the commerce in the temple, the elite clergy of the day. And he also, notice, he called the teachers of the law. These would have been the scribes, known as Pharisees. And they were the very legalistic, strict priests of the day. So he calls the aristocrats, he calls the common clergy, he calls them all together. And notice what he says. He asks them the question, what are they talking about, this King of the Jews? Well, they answer by sharing a verse in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5 and 2 Samuel chapter 5. And they give him the answer, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, brethren, in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly. And notice what he does. He finds out from them, well, what exact time did the star appear? Well, that's a good question. We don't really know how old Jesus is at this time. We don't know exactly when the star appeared. Some historians believe that Jesus could have been up to age 2 at this point because Herod had all the babies destroyed under the age of 2. It was probably more like 6 months to 12 months. But Herod wanted to make sure. And so we find out what happens, as many of you know the story, which is not part of our story tonight. But what a horrible thing that he did. Imagine those moms and dads when they came to take their children under the age of 2. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "You can go to the house of bread," which was about 4 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. It wasn't a very long walk or ride on an animal. "Go and search carefully, okay, for this King of the Jews. And as soon as you find him, bring him here because I also want to worship him." Do you think he wanted to worship him? No. He wanted to destroy him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And notice, the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So the star, this bright light, reappears. How do we know it reappears? Well, it had to have left because King Herod and everyone else would have seen the bright light. They would have seen the bright star, but it wasn't there until they began once again to go toward Bethlehem, and God supernaturally gives them that light that shone right over where Jesus was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And notice, they bow down and they worship the true king. God in the flesh. They brought gifts. And because of the three gifts, that's why many believe there were three. But just because they brought three gifts does not mean there weren't more people that came. And they gave them gifts, notice, of gold that represents royalty. Ladies, do you like gold? There might be a few ladies that prefer silver or something else, but I don't think I've ever met personally a lady who didn't like gold. And that signified royalty. They gave gold to the king. Then notice they gave frankincense, incense. This incense that would be burnt and would come up. And what did that represent? Well, incense represented deity. That this baby was not only royalty, but this baby was God. And then perfume, myrrh, represented humanity. And here we have before us wise men that travel for months, maybe 2 to 3 months, probably could have done it in a month, we don't really know, brought three gifts that represented royalty, deity, and humanity, of the child being born as a human, but yet God at the same time, the God child, the God man, the one that would grow and live a life without sin, go to a cross, die, be buried, and be raised from the dead. Why? That you and I might be able to spend all eternity whom we are worshiping now, the baby Jesus, who grew to be that man who died for me and died for you. Jesus, King. Jesus, God. Jesus, royalty. Isn't it fascinating how God supernaturally placed a seed in the body of Mary, and from that, that child was born who would pay the ultimate sacrifice for me and for you. I don't know about your spiritual life, your spiritual background, but here's what I do know, that child came and grew as a man and gave his life because he, God, loves you. You say, Jerry, but I'm so undeserving. You don't know what I've done, but God does. And he loves you. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What are we sharing? We're sharing that in and of ourselves, we are not good enough to get into heaven. But Jesus, God, came, who was perfect and lived a perfect life. We learned last week that he was tempted in all points of the law, yet without sin. And if we simply cry out and admit to him, Jesus, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I have broken the Ten Commandments. I cannot keep God's law. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. Fill in the blank. But I want to go to heaven. And I believe that this baby was born supernaturally and lived and died for me. And when I pass from this life to the next, I want to spend eternity in heaven. If that's you tonight, there's a prayer that I would like to pray for us. But this prayer will not get you to heaven. It's the heart, your genuine repentance. And that means a change of mind, that you recognize that you can't do it on your own. But Jesus, if you put your faith and trust in him, can take me and you and escort us into the very presence of God for all eternity. And so I'm going to ask you, before we sing one more song, if you would be gracious enough to bow your head and close your eyes. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to embarrass you. We don't do that here at our church. I just want you to know that I love you, God loves you, and I want you to spend eternity in heaven. I know God wants you to spend eternity in heaven. In fact, the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if that's you tonight, if you'd say, Jerry, you know, I really want heaven as my home. I can't do it on my own, but I want to trust Jesus because he paved the way for me. I'm going to pray out loud, and you can pray quietly in your own heart. And tonight, if you're genuine, you can have the guarantee of heaven. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark. I cannot be perfect. I admit I'm not perfect. And I believe that that baby that came and was born was God in the flesh, that grew, who never sinned, who died and was buried and rose from the dead for me. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to come into my life and be my Savior. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me and giving me eternal life. Let's stand together tonight as we sing this last song together. And then after this song, I'll come back and then I'll close our service with prayer.
You should have received candles. And so as we sing Silent Night, let's turn our lights on and let them shine as we sing this beautiful, beautiful Christmas carol to end our program.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
God, we thank you this evening for the birth of your Son, our Savior, the God-child. And Lord, I ask your richest blessing and anointing on these people that have gathered tonight. Lord, thank you for their willingness to come. And I'm sure with the snowstorm we had this morning, it was difficult. But Lord, thank you that they were able to get out and get plowed and come. And Lord, we know today there were many tonight that could not come because of the weather, and we're thankful that we could live stream our services. And so, Lord, we're grateful that even though we can't all be together in body, we're together in spirit. So, Lord, go with us tonight. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for what it represents. And Lord, help us to do our very best to keep our eyes focused on you, the author and finisher of our faith. Go with us now, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. As you leave tonight, if you would drop your candles in the box, if you do have a card that you filled out, if you would drop those there as well, we'd appreciate it. Merry, Merry Christmas.